Hello, everybody. It's time for the conversation with John Orr. I'm John Orr, your host, and you are invited to call in with your comments or questions at 503-325-0010. And the topic today is, how important is this midterm election? I'll ask some other questions to rouse you from your contemplation and maybe your second cup of coffee. Questions like, are you undecided? What's the most important thing you're voting on? But right now, the general question I'm posing for my listeners and my callers for comments or questions is, how important is this midterm? So to kind of get things going here today, I was looking at an article in New York Times Magazine titled, Millennials Need to Start Voting Before the Gerontocracy Kills Us. Before the gerontocracy kills us. Well, that's pretty harsh. I don't know whether I fall into that category or not. I would like to think young and act young, even if I'm not young. But the idea here is that voters who are younger perhaps don't recognize the connection between voting and advancing their self-interest, while the older ones, the gerontocracy, as the Times calls it, do. So what are the issues that would demonstrate the truth of the point that voting can, in fact, advance your self-interest, related to the topic, today's topic for your calls, which is, how important are the midterms? So that said, how many plausible explanations are there for why America has embraced carpe diem as its governing policy? Our ruling party is dominated by geriatric billionaires, and millenarian Christians are... The electoral system gives politicians little incentive to prioritize the nation's long-term well-being over their constituents' immediate gratification, and the conservative movement's decades-long assault on big government has constrained the public sector's capacity to invest in the future. But all these causes of American misrule are informed and exacerbated by this overriding fact: young people vote much less than those who aren't long for this earth. Well, that would seem to underscore why perhaps this election, this midterm, is important. Give us your calls, 503-325-0010. Personally, we have little to no accountability in the federal government. All three branches are in the strong and firm control of one party. And that just tends not to work out very well, because then not all of Americans feel like they have a voice, and the decisions slant to one side. So it's an important election. Obviously, people who want to see the interests of the environment protected may have a reason to vote to try and block legislation like the repeal of the Endangered Species Act, or to perhaps bring some tax equity, tax fairness back to the system. That probably won't happen until we change the occupant of the White House. So, you know, a lot of people are focused on local elections. So I'm asking you, the listeners and the callers out there, what is the reason you have voted, if you haven't voted by mail already, or plan on voting? Was there one single motivating factor? And you can call anonymously, that's fine, if you don't want people to know, you know, what you personally, by name, are thinking, or what you care about. So I guess that would be another way of framing the question. What is it in this election that you care most about? What moves you most deeply to exercise your constitutional right, your democratic right to vote? You know, there are people in this country who are having to fight very hard because of so-called voter ID laws. Personally, I call them voter suppression laws, since it's a solution in terms of in search of a problem, as they say. We see that with Indian tribes in North Dakota and Heidi Heitkamp's election campaign. It's unfortunate. We see this in a lot of areas. And the Secretary of State of, I believe it is the state of Georgia, has been purging voter rolls. I mean, to what end? The appearance of bias in the administration of an election is almost as bad as the reality of it, because people that tune out or say, my vote doesn't make a difference, and maybe they feel justified in that. And that disillusionment, that loss of participation, that loss of a sense of the stake in the operation of our government, it's bad. It's very bad for the government. And does anybody out there agree with me, or are they just kind of turned off to the whole political situation and discussion, division and discord? It is late. Our elections do drag on a long time, none worse than the presidential elections. How refreshing wouldn't it be to just put a six-month cap on that? And in terms of the advertising, the media bombardment of the trivia and the intrigue of the election campaign. Anyway, I'm inviting your calls to the conversation with John Orr. So give us your calls. I'd love to engage with you and hear what you have to say. All people, all opinions, all points of view are invited. Just keep your comments civil. Try to rely on reliable sources if you're quoting facts, because this is your opportunity to be heard and perhaps speak to other members of the community you would like to influence if there's something chafing you about in our local election. What do you think is being talked about and not talked about that should be talked about? I personally have some ideas that we need to be more concerned about the pedestrian issue of deer in our yards here in the city of Astoria, as their population continues to increase rapidly. That's an issue that I haven't heard anybody talking about. I brought it up with a former candidate, and that was kind of enlightening. So, you know, that's something to try and get the conversation going here. Another one is that the Republican campaign, it's caused many, Steve Schmidt, a former strategist and campaign manager for George W. Bush, to disavow his connection to the Republican Party. There's George Will, noted columnist, respected columnist, who also left the Republican Party. So there is that. What is going on here? I personally, there are others. Let's see if I can find who they are, who have just bailed on the Republican Party, principally in response to their, I guess, disgust with Donald Trump. I've got an article here from The Intelligencer that, that was the one on gerontocracy. Oh, it looks like we may have a caller. That would be good. Speaking into the microphone, always a good thing. So I'm looking at an article from The Washington Post. A GOP strategist has abandoned his party and calls for the election of Democrats. This is about Steve Schmidt, who played at the highest levels of Republican politics as a top strategist in the presidential campaign, advisor to others, other GOP candidates. He said, Trump's election did not spell doom for the Republican Party. The reality is that our founders always predicted that one day there would be a president like Trump, and that's why they designed the system of government the way they designed it. What they never imagined is the utter abdication of a co-equal branch of government, which we're seeing now. The definition of conservatism is now the requirement of complete and utter obedience to the leader. Now, Schmidt's angry and vocal criticism of the president has made him a staple of commentary on MSNBC and a hero to liberals. So stand by. We're going to get to those calls. Trump's presidency and what Schmidt regards as the obeisance of traditional Republicans brought him near a breaking point. This is probably a little bit of a dated article. Events of the past day, Trump's praise for North Korea's Kim Jong-un, attacks on Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and the horrific images of immigrant children separated from their parents on the U.S.-Mexico border finally tipped him over the edge. Another interesting thing in the news this week was, I guess, something that the president said about how he intended to remove by executive order the status of citizenship to people who were born in the United States by parents who came here illegally. So we're back. Maybe not a whole lot of calls today. Maybe people are busy with their various chores, their activities. Maybe they're filling out their voting forms. Good for them. Good for you. Vote. Exercise your right. Sounds corny, but it bears mentioning that many people have fought and died for our way of life, which has been characterized as the beacon of democracy. And democracy starts, and it started with our Revolutionary War with representation. Taxation without representation got those revolutionaries steamed up and started throwing British tea into the Boston Harbor, and there was a threat to democracy known as fascism in the Second World War, Hitler, Mussolini, and the military powers of Japan. And we didn't lose nearly as many as the Russians or the Soviets, but about 400,000, 500,000 Americans died to stop fascism. So there's that. So it looks like we're going to have a little assist here on Mic 2. Mic 2, and that would be, is it Dylan?
Dylan Hauser-Schock.
Dylan Hauser-Schock. Are you a millennial?
Yeah, I'm the very last of the millennials.
You're very last. Well, what an honor to have you here. Dylan, what do you do here at the station?
I do Morning Edition from 8 to 9.
Oh, so you master the controls. You don't actually read the news.
I read Northwest News.
Oh, you do? Wow.
But I'm certainly not NPR.
Well, okay, but, Dylan, let's get down to brass tacks. If you don't mind me asking you, put you on the spot here.
Go ahead.
Have you voted?
No, I haven't voted yet.
Do you plan on voting?
Yeah, I really do plan on voting.
Okay.
The only problem is I've just moved.
Yeah.
So I think they sent my ballot to my old house and not my new one. So I got to go get in contact with my old roommate to go vote. But it has been on my mind.
I think you can probably also address that by going to the county registrar there on the corner of Duane and 8th Street. There's I think it's up on the second floor. If anybody has questions or problems.
And then,
yes.
Would they give me a new ballot?
I think they might. I think they would give you direction to accomplish the ballot. obviously you can't vote twice, so...
Yeah, that's what I was concerned about.
If you were able to recover your other ballot and you'd already voted, then you just tear that up, and if they found it, presumably they'd be able to throw one of them out.
Yeah, I was just concerned that they would think that I tried to vote twice.
Well, no, that would be illegal. It's not a real problem. Once they got a one vote from you, and assuming you don't send a second one in, then that should be that. So let's talk about now your friends. Are most of your friends planning on voting in this election, this midterm 2018 as well?
Man, I hope so.
Do you talk to them about it?
No, but I certainly see a lot of it on social media.
Yeah, that maybe this election has perked their interest more than some others?
Maybe not necessarily. I certainly see it from politically active. Those are my friends who are very politically active, but I don't know if I would say I'm seeing a new interest in it from people who haven't been previously interested.
I see. Did you have any sense of your friend, your peer group, whether they participated in the 2016 presidential election, or did they tune out?
I think most of my friends were too young at that point.
Oh, okay. So what is, if you don't, again, mind my asking, what is to you the most important issue for the 2018 midterms, whether local or federal or measures?
I think locally, Measure 103, to me, is the most important.
Now, for our viewers that don't know what 103 is about, what is 103 about?
Measure 103 is the banning state grocery tax.
Uh-huh.
But I would say, and this is just of my political opinion, that
sure,
it's not necessarily a grocery tax, but rather banning more of a soda tax.
I see.
Which Washington already implemented. Washington implemented a soda tax.
Ah,
so. And I think Measure 103 is more of a preemptive measure to make sure that does not happen here. And that's sort of funded by Pepsi, Coca-Cola.
Distributors.
And people that and have interests in that.
That's a really good point. You know, I hadn't heard that one. I had heard a couple of things. One was the city of Ontario, Oregon, probably strapped for revenue, for infrastructure, and for taxes, had imposed a local tax on groceries. I've also heard that restaurants might try to work their ways into avoiding tax. And this is, as I understand, a constitutional ban on tax and groceries, correct?
Yeah, that is correct, I think. Of the Oregon Constitution.
Yeah. I mean, why do you think they have to go to the Constitution rather than the state legislature for this sort of thing? The proponents of 103, that is.
I mean, I don't think they have to, but I can definitely see the motives in it, because it would definitely make it really tough to ever reverse that kind of thing.
So of all the issues of the sanctuary law, which is 106, I think, the one...
105, maybe.
105, and the one that requires a 3/5 to, alter tax credits, for example,
right,
to require a 3/5 majority for indirectly affecting the way taxes are administered. The grocery one's got your attention.
Yeah, maybe that's because I have more of an interest in public health and public safety.
I see.
But I couldn't tell you if it's definitively the most important, okay, but that's just of my opinion.
Okay.
And well, I think it's the one that I know the most about.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones seem really complicated, really logistical to me.
Cool. Well, I've just been notified that we're streaming live, so I apologize to the callers who dutifully attempted to call us. Why don't you try again? Because I really want to hear from you. We've got just a few minutes left to hear your thoughts on why you're voting or why this is the most important election. What's the thing that's motivating you to vote? Or are you undecided? Or are you just not going to vote because, well, for whatever reason? So the number here is 503-325-0010. My guest is Dylan...
Hauser-Schulk.
Hauser-Schulk, no
and
wonder.
I don't blame you for not getting it the first time.
Can I just call you Dylan?
No, please go ahead.
People may think that Bob Dylan is here, but It's just Dylan. Well, good. And I really appreciate your dropping in here.
Yeah, no problem.
So, do you think there is a lack of interest, generally speaking, or lack of sense of being part of the franchise or invested in our government on the part of young people, on the part of so-called millennials?
I can definitely see why it would be a big turnoff to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it seems like things are grinding to a halt most times, the way our democracy works. So, but I don't think that's any reason to just say that we're not going to participate at all. But I can see why people would be frustrated, especially of my age. And people just think that political discourse maybe doesn't matter anymore, and it should be left to the higher-ups. That's not what I think, but I think that that is an easy position to take, with some validity to it. But no, I think that the political conversation really does matter, no matter what age group you're in. And really, it may matter much more on millennials and Generation Z, because we're the people inheriting this country and the way of politics at large across the globe.
Do you think
that's our future?
Do you think that millennials would be concerned a lot about things like getting fracking going again on public lands, or the United States withdrawing from the Paris Treaty on climate change and the accords to roll back greenhouse gases? Do you think young people could see how that might possibly affect their water supply or the weather that seems to be inflicting greater damage on our coastlines and our timberlands?
Yeah. Well, from, I mean, my evidence is pretty much anecdotal of the people that I know and my own opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just in my discussions up at the college.
Yeah, a little closer to the mic there.
Yeah, in my discussion.
There we go.
Like, yeah. We discussed this a lot in my ethics class at the college. What is ethically, you know, correct of us to do as a new generation trying to take on these problems? And that's definitely at the top of our discussion list almost every single time, is environmental issues.
Yeah.
And I don't think that our generation, at least in Oregon, would be in favor of, you know, trying to reinvigorate fracking and major offshore oil drilling, yeah, stuff like that.
But are they able to connect the dots between the government is not this mysterious, distant force, but rather the result of collective decision-making that takes place at the ballot box? Do they connect the dots, or do they watch the news and they hear about the dysfunction of Congress? For example, to me, the greatest source of disillusionment has a very cynical kind of background. Once the Republicans took Congress in 2010, both houses, they were able to obstruct the implementation of President Obama's agenda. So it was very hard to do anything. And there was, of course, the acrimony then, as there is now, and the birther scandals and you know, the Benghazi hearings. And all that just made people think that they couldn't get along, they couldn't do anything, and why does it make any difference? But not being able to accomplish anything actually raised the political, the political stakes. I mean, and they raised the fortunes, I should say, of the Republican presidential campaign. And because a lot of people got disillusioned, didn't vote, and not voting all invariably helps, the Republicans. I think that's pretty clear. Well, it looks like we've come to the end of our show conversation with John Orr. I apologize for the technical difficulties in getting callers in, but I really appreciate Dylan stopping by and giving us his two cents. Maybe we'll have you on again, Dylan.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
All right, sounds good. And yeah, you millennials, get out there and vote. That would be great. And so this has been the conversation with John Orr. We'll be back next week, next Friday, for 9:30. Thanks for tuning in.